The Motivational Moments podcast is made possible by the generous sponsorship of Prime Information Security, online at www.primeinfosec.com, and with the support of our many subscribers. Thank you.
Today's episode of Motivational Moments features audio taken from my Conversations video series at www.motivationalsteps.com/conversations. Hello everyone, it's Linda again with another Conversations, and I have a fantastic guest called Philip Mills. He's the CEO of Habitat Waterloo. Hi Phil, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Actually, I called you Phil. Is that okay, Philip?
It's quite all right. I'm indifferent. The only person who was ever particular about it was my father. He thought I needed to be called. He's like, I gave you the name Philip. You need to call you Philip. And he was the only one who ever really did. So Phil is just fine.
I love that. Most people don't call me anything. They just go, hey, you. Didn't meet you at the big house party, Habitat for Waterloo, big fundraiser. But I was like looking across at you thinking, I've got to meet that guy. I'm connected to him on LinkedIn. And so then I snagged you, didn't I, on LinkedIn?
You absolutely did. And I'm glad you did. It's always good to meet exciting community-minded people. So I'm happy you made the connection.
Thank you. So why did you get involved with Habitat in the first place? And were you always the CEO, or did you work your way up?
So I've been doing like charitable executive work for about 15 years now. So previously I worked for a community center in Cambridge, did kind of community development work for folks experiencing poverty, worked in healthcare for a little while. And so the shift to Habitat was kind of twofold. One, I was working in healthcare during COVID, and I thought, I don't know if I want to keep working in healthcare during COVID. So I was interested in maybe finding a bit of a different opportunity. But more than that, I wanted to get back to kind of grassroots stuff. So I had been working in community work. I had been working like in a neighborhood and doing some really interesting work with a company, charity called the Greenway Chaplain Community Center in Cambridge. And I loved my work there. I went and worked in healthcare, and I was like, I need to get back to like people. I need to get back to the community. I need to get back to that sort of grassroots on the ground, because to a certain extent, it felt to me that like working in healthcare had like a quasi-government feel about it. It's like, I don't have as much connection to people. I'm driven by things that are outside of our control. I just wanted to get back to a place that was focused on a mission. And so I thought my opportunity to come and work at Habitat. So there was a chance. I took it. I kind of put in my application. They were gracious and met with me and thought, you know, we'll give you a shot. And so I've been here now for 4 years, and it's been great. I've loved it. It's been an excellent sort of role. So I'm really excited. So yeah, I've been doing charitable sort of executive work for a long time, but new to Habitat a couple of years ago.
When you were at high school, did you always want to work in this field, like the charitable field, or, you know, did you try other things first?
So I gotta say, like, I come by it honestly in some respects, I guess. So I tell a story. My father was a minister, and my mother was a social worker by trade. And so ended up, you know, working with a hospital and did stuff with, you know, folks experiencing mental health, and was a manager there. So the idea of kind of investing and being a part of community and that sort of communal good stuff was just like in the most appropriate and loving way possible, drilled into me from a child, like right from this, like, that's who we are. That's what it meant to be one of our families, that we gave back. We participated in community. We were, you know, a part of that. And so I didn't ever think I was going to be like, I'm going to be a charitable executive or be a, like, that was never the idea. It was just like, yeah, I need to do something that helps people. I want to be a part of, you know, a helping profession, engaging and caring for people sort of stuff. And I found my way, having done that in a bunch of interesting places and with different lovely charities, to, you know, ended up in an executive role, which, you know, has suited me well. And I think it kind of fits my skills. And so once I got there, I've been there sort of ever since. Yeah, the past 15 years now.
I love it. You've got the right personality for it. I think we're both people. We love people. And I didn't always do this, but I think why I love to do this, the kind of work I do, is because I love to raise awareness and talk to other people about how I can help them. And so it's not really charitable work, obviously, but, you know, it's something I enjoy. Just off the cuff, the conversation, one of my sons works for CMHA. He's been there for 10 years. And before your time in Habitat, he used to take some of the clients there. He deals with youth up to a certain age. And this is the Waterloo Wellington one, you know, the local one. And they used to go to Habitat and they used to help, you know, make some of the houses. And yeah, and then COVID came along and it all stopped. And I think maybe health and safety is a little bit more thought about in those instances these days than it used to be. But yeah, our kids are the same. They love to give back. They love to help if they can in any way. So what is it you love about your work at Habitat? I mean, do you just tell people what to do or do you help build the houses?
I love like a complicated problem, I guess is probably like the thing about, like, I really like solving big complicated problems. That's what's interesting study. And so the opportunity to solve a big complicated problem like housing, like something that's so fundamental and something we all really need, but is so broken right now. So I get to like attack this really big, really meaningful problem. And if I succeed, it means that people who absolutely deserve something better get it. Like, it's a win-win-win all around. I get to kind of scratch that internal itch of give me something complicated and exciting to deal with, to work with. I want that big problem. And if I solve it, I don't know, create a better widget or something. I have said, like, now families get houses. They get places to live. Maybe I can fix this whole thing. So, you get to do, I love that. I get to do all of the exciting parts of the thing. Like, do something that's energizing to me from a, you know, I'm going to spend my time. I want a problem. I want to solve stuff. I want to be a part of that. But to do that where the end goal is that, like I said, you know, I don't know, drilled into me from a young age, investing in and bettering community. Like, that's just such a win-win for me. So I've loved the opportunity to be at Habitat. I've loved this work because it does kind of get to be, you know, all things for me in that way.
I can tell you love it. You're so passionate about it. What is Habitat? I know most people know, but for those people that don't, what is it? What kind of people, you know, does it help? And I've got loads more questions, but those two can start.
Sure, we'll start there. So it's such a fascinating sort of thing you question. Like, everybody knows about it. And, like, almost nobody knows what we do. It's this really weird juxtaposition where, like, people are like, I love Habitat. Jimmy Carter. What a cool organization. And then, like, after that, it is anything and everything that people start saying, because you guys do this and that. It's like, well, we don't do that. And that's not quite, like, people, because I think we have this great sort of brand awareness from, like, a, you know, a business standpoint. But the actual, like, tactical how we work, a lot of people don't understand. So the thing that makes Habitat so special is that we focus on affordable home ownership. So we're not, there's lots of ways to deal with affordable housing and lots of necessities. And affordable housing is this massive spectrum and we kind of condense it all into like one thing, affordable housing. And that elicits different things from different people. You say affordable housing, they think about folks who are street involved. They think about rent geared to income rentals. They think about all that kind of stuff and, you know, supportive housing, all of it. We actually do something within that sphere. It's just a different part of the continuum where we do affordable home ownership. So we give, you know, we partner with people so they have an opportunity who wouldn't otherwise to buy a house so they get to own a house. And we do that because we think that there are really long-term generational impacts associated with owning homes. Like, if you own your house versus rent it, you get a different level of stability. You get then the opportunity for generational wealth transfers. Like, you think about most people, where does a family, if you even think back like generations and lineage, where did your family kind of start? What was the thing that got them, you know, into a position where they had agency, control, economic, you know, choices? Often a home's one of those things. Like, it's the biggest asset you own, and having that when your parent passes away, that transfers to the next generation, and that wealth transfer helps them to buy a house, helps, like, it does all of these really interesting things. And so for us, we're saying, not only do we want to make sure that we're supporting folks who absolutely need help because they can't afford housing, how do we do that in a way that creates long-term generational lasting impacts? And so that was, you know, the idea with Habitat all along. So we do affordable home ownership. And so that's our kind of niche difference. The thing to remember, and everybody kind of gets wrong about us, we sell the house. So the family does buy the house. What makes it affordable when Habitat does it is they get an affordable mortgage. So their mortgage is geared to income. So they pay 25% of their mortgage, or 25% of their income is a mortgage payment. So much like geared to income, like a rent geared to income, if your income goes up because things are going really great in life, which is what we want for people, awesome. You pay a little bit more, but you can afford it. And you're paying every dollar as you're paying it. That's building equity in the home. If you're in a position like, you know, we kind of talked about it loosely, the idea that, you know, COVID and the sort of impacts of like stuff happens, life happens. Okay, job loss, you know, less hours at the place that you're working, all those sorts of things. We'll then work with you and say, okay, Your income's changed, we'll drop your payments down. But you're still, then every dollar you're paying and those money that's going in, you know, it's paying down. So folks still pay property taxes, they gotta pay insurance, those things. But just like everybody else, they're also paying down a mortgage to Habitat. And as they pay that mortgage down, that's grown equity for that family they get when they get to sell that home in the end, because they bought it, they own it. It is actually theirs. So Habitat starts as a builder. We build this home. We find a partner family that meets the program criteria. We sell them the home. So at that point, we kind of transition to like a lender. We're like a mortgage person. We hold their mortgage, they pay it back for us. And every then, as we take in those mortgage payments, what we're able to do, because we're not a bank and we're not trying to make money. We don't, you know, we just take all those mortgage payments. We're like, great, let's go build more houses to get more people into housing. So it becomes a sort of ongoing rotating. We call this fund for humanity, this idea that it just kind of rotates and constantly giving back. So as that family is paying down their mortgage, I'm able to use those resources and go build another house so another family can start having a safe place to live, and their mortgage payments then start going to buy the next house. And so it becomes a sort of revolving thing. So as we do more, my capacity to do more grows, which is also pretty exciting on my end.
Wow, I didn't know most of that. I feel so silly. That's amazing. Thank you for explaining it. So who builds the houses? Where does the building materials come from? I know you choose the families based by their income and the needs, so you need to have somebody build the houses. So I think the families help build the house, do they?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that's kind of core to everything we do at Habitat is partnerships. We can't do anything on our own. And so when it comes to building a house, like, that's done in partnerships. And so the materials, if, you know, it's something we need to go buy, we buy as much as we can from local folks who work with us. We'll sometimes get some good discounts because local folks want to invest in the community. We've got, you know, tradespeople will bring in. We have a ton of volunteers that help build the homes that we're working on. And so, you know, we have volunteer teams. So corporations, I was going to say corporates, I kind of split the words. Corporations will come in and they'll do like it's a team building day for them. You know, they come in and they all get to swing a hammer or, you know, paint a wall, working together to create something that's going to be a person's, you know, home in the not too distant future. So that's a way that, so we get all these different people in. So they're helping to build the home. Families, part of our program does say that if you're going to buy a Habitat home, part of partnering with us is you need to volunteer 500 hours. And so that's part of this sort of commitment and partnership that, like, we are doing this together. And so often you get this opportunity then where you've got a family that's volunteering and they're helping to build a home, and you've got a corporate team that's in helping to build a home, and we've got other really committed volunteers leading these folks. Like, so that's one way that we build, as we do these sort of, you know, community build projects where we've got this, you know, ongoing thing, we're making it happen all together. We also have other ones where we've said we want to do more. It's important for us to be building more because the need is so great. And so in those cases, we're partnering in a different way. So, you know, we've got a project on Sean's Hill that's going on these days, and that's partnered with the Activa, the developer company. So they're lovely local folks who care about the community, and they said, hey, we want to work with you so that you can get more houses out because more people need what you do. And so we don't have enough volunteers and enough staff and all the people to be doing multiple sites everywhere. So we partner with these lovely local company, and they're going to help us. And so they're helping us build this project. It's bigger than we would normally build. It's faster than we'd normally build. So we get to do that through partnership, and we get to continue all the regular partnerships we have. So all those folks who have committed to us for years, all the corporations that have invested in us over years. So we get this. So what we're just looking for every way is, how do we get more homes built? And our answer is always, you know, through partnerships.
It's exciting because, well, I've been now in Canada since 93, and I don't think I ever saw, unless I was blind, so many homeless people, so many people in need, so many people who couldn't afford a mortgage. It's very, very sad. It really is. And I know the government are trying, and I've got my fingers crossed. So, but the kind of work that you guys are doing is just amazing. And at the event that we both attended, one of the first families to own a house, some of the members of that family were there, weren't they? That was wonderful.
So they were a part of, back in the 90s, we had, you know, President Jimmy Carter came and was a part of this sort of Blitz Build program that we did here in the region. And so the family that was, you know, we had this wonderful family that came and got to talk about their experience at our big house party. And so they live in those homes. They still live in that home today. That's still the family home that they, you know, it was built in the 90s. President Carter was a part of that. We had tons of volunteers. It was this Blitz Build where we built this stuff all in a week. And so, like, that family still lives there today, getting all the benefits. You've got kids that grew up there. So the person who kind of, we, you know, had somebody come and talk about what it meant to be a Habitat family at that project. So they had lived there this whole time. They grew up in this home. That is the home. they grew up there. They got to come back and then tell everybody, like, hey, this is what this meant to me as an actual person in a real way, for my family to have a space to live and to thrive. It was really moving. And it was nice that we get to share those stories. I was so grateful. You know, it was Aaron Balzer was the person that, you know, shared with us. And so grateful for him to share, because, like, you might not believe me, Linda. Like, I don't mind talking. Like, I can talk a little bit. And everybody that listens to me is like, yeah, Phil, like, we get it. But it's not the same. Like, I can talk about all the cool things that we're doing and why I think this is important, but to have a family member come up and say, this is how this actually changed my life. This is what this was really like. I lived in the home. I helped to build it. My family still lives there. This is the impact that this has had on all of us, is such a cool opportunity. And so I'm so glad that he was able to do that with us. And it helps us kind of get people to understand a bit more about what we're about.
I think I've learned so much more during this chat than I ever knew before. And so I can answer other people's questions who ask me, because I go, well, I know they build houses and people help and they have a lot of volunteers. But so let's imagine they finish the mortgage. Can they sell the house to somebody else then? Or, you know, so it's like their own house eventually and they can just sell it like any normal person.
Yeah. So I think I don't want to get too much of the technicalities. Yeah. Like, they buy the house. So if they want to sell, like, so a family can sell at any time, like, just like anybody else. Now, it does mean if there's still a mortgage on it, how that works, right? Like, so some of those sorts of things, if there's a mortgage on it, there's still some stuff owing. The other thing that we do, and there's, you know, a partnership in how we share some of the equity in the house, you know, over a period of time, because what we don't want is, you know, it's part of it's like, you know, to try and disincentivize flipping, but also realizing, like, hey, people have invested. We've had volunteer hours. We've had donations. We've had these things. So people are like, how do you kind of protect that community reality here? And so we want to make sure. And so that's the other side of this stuff, is that we have opportunities to say, like, hey, when it's time, the families, you know, this isn't what they need anymore. We offer the opportunity to buy the home back to make sure that it can stay in the affordable housing. Or if it's not reasonable for us to buy it back, then yeah, that can go out to market. So we have all these different tools to make sure that all of this, to try and steward the asset the community has built, because this isn't something that we did on our own. The community built these homes. And so how do we make sure that we steward that well? And so that is around the way in which we share equity, the way in which, you know, the home gets sold. There are some eccentricities, we'll say, but all that with the intention of saying, we want families to, like, thrive and to grow, but also, you know, to make sure that we're stewarding these resources well. Because I think people would be really frustrated if we said, hey, we donated all this money and then that family just, like, flipped it, you know, for a load. Like, that's not really what the intention was. The intention was, this creates opportunity, this creates wealth, this gives you chances you didn't have otherwise, not this is a great way to flip a house and make a bunch of money. Because that's not what people are, you know, giving into. And so we have mechanisms there to make sure that's kind of not how it's experienced on the other side.
That is really good to know, isn't it? Because that's another thing that I had no idea. I thought, did I have to stay in it forever? Did I have to give the house back? I like the idea you buying the house back if you can afford it and then giving it to another family who really, really, you know, is in that position where they can afford it and they can pay the mortgage, but they wouldn't be able to do it, you know, say the way we did or you did. I like the fact that you can talk a lot, because the passion, you smile, the laughter, you're a very people person. So I'm sure you have to ask for sponsorship money and stuff like that. So can you imagine if you couldn't talk or you didn't smile and you'd go, please, can we have some money? I think you're the ideal person to be in this position, because you're a very likable person, aren't you? I think, I don't know whether anybody else told you that. There's no way anybody could dislike you and say no to you. We have a friend in common. I'm guessing, do you know Steve Bentley? Yeah, we have a friend in common in that, you know, and I haven't told him, you've met obviously, so I haven't told him I'm interviewing you, you know, so be ever so pleased, because yes, he was very, very, another one, very, very passionate about being on the committee, the board, whatever it is, you know. So I know a lot of the community who have helped Habitat. I hadn't got to know you, so as I say, you can run, but you can't hide. I'm very good at getting what I want.
I'm so glad you tracked me down. This is fantastic. I've enjoyed this so much.
If people want to know more and want to contact you or contact somebody else, how can they do that, Phil?
The simplest way is always through our website. Like, it's got all the good information. HabitatWR, as in Waterloo Region, .ca. Like, easy to find. And there's other opportunities there for everything. So, like, if folks are saying, hey, I want to get involved, I want to volunteer, I want to spend some time, you know, we can get you connected in a volunteering sort of way. If you are a person who's saying, like, hey, we want to do a team build, I want to get, you know, my corporation out on the site, swinging hammers. And if you're, if you're me, it ends up being, because every time I go, I think they save this stuff for me. I go out and help on the build site at least a couple times a year. And every time I go, it's mixing concrete by hand. I think they save that project just to be like, Phil, here's your wheelbarrow. Best of luck. So if you want to get out and like really get dirty and get into some of this work, because like the team building element, that's fantastic. That's information's there. You know, that's an opportunity that's there for folks. If you want to, the other thing we haven't talked about at all, like we have our restores and folks know about that restores, right? Like, so, you know, if you've got a kitchen that needs, that you're kind of done with and thinking about moving, you know, if it's in good shape, we'll come, we'll take it out, we'll sell it in our restore, and we give you a tax receipt for it. So that's one of the ways we do some fundraising is with, you know, gently used home goods and, you know, construction materials, all that kind of stuff. So you can donate to our restore, you can come shop in our restores. Like there's tons of ways for folks to get involved if they're interested in what Habitat's up to, and all of it's on our website.
So part of your job must be going to lots of events or meeting lots of people at networking events to do what you're doing tonight. So at least you're sitting down in your own chair at home or in your office. But I mean, I would imagine you love all that. You're so passionate about it. I'm so glad I met you and I got the chance to meet you virtually tonight. And is there anything, any words of wisdom you'd like to leave with us really about, you know, the work you do?
I think, you know, the thing that I try to remind people about is like housing's changed a lot. And I think if you haven't, some folks haven't been keeping up and it's hard. Like the idea of who needs our help, that has really, really expanded over the years. Like again, we kind of talked to that idea of like, what is affordable housing? And I think folks, you know, immediately go to like, well, this is a person who's, you might be street involved or a person who isn't working. And you're like, yes. And because of the reality of the world we're living in now, it has expanded so much that it's not that. It's folks who have full-time jobs and can't afford where they're living. This is, you know, it has become so much bigger. And this is not because people aren't trying hard. It's not because people aren't working. It's not because they're not good with budgets. It's because things have become so outrageously expensive. It is so hard for people these days. And so I try to mention every time, like, people need to be gracious. Like we need to understand like folks are trying and what that means and what this is like, because more people than we would ever believe really need help with housing. Like it's so much bigger and more pervasive, and it's not as simple as, you know, well, budget smarter and I was able to do it when I was younger. Like this is, it's so much bigger and more complicated than that. And so I always try and encourage folks to like, you know, keep up to date on what this is really like, because there are people in your life for whom this is going to really matter. Like this touches all of us. You know, I've got young kids and I think like, why are they going to afford a house? And I know my parents worry about my younger brother. It's the same, like he's just like, that's what, he's the same young, he's a little bit younger than me. And like the world shifted not that long ago and he wasn't in a position where he didn't, like all of that stuff is real. And so I think, you know, this is gonna touch everybody in one way or another, this housing issue. And so I think it behooves folks to be up to date on how it actually works and to be up to date on the reality of it. And the reality of it isn't like save some money, try hard, it can work, I did it. Because that's not the world we're in today. And so I think we have to have solutions for the world we're in today, because what worked before just isn't working now.
Is there anything we can do, like the rest of the community who maybe don't come along and help build? I mean, what can we do to help? I mean, I'm always bugging the politicians about, because I was born in Birmingham in the UK, and I know that after the war, my parents told me they built houses so quickly, like little prefab houses so quickly. And you would rent them off the council, you know. So it was done before. So maybe we've just got to make sure that we try and, you know, talk to people more about it and talk to our councillors and people in power who can make the changes that we would like to see.
I think there's that opportunity. Like, I think our you know, city councils and regional councils do respond to local, you know, wants, desire, pressure. And so how do we, and like in a respectful and appropriate way, like hold their feet to the fire to say, we need solutions. We expect solutions from you. We expect solutions in this region because this is such a big issue. And I think everybody can be an advocate with local council and local, you know, city to say like, we expect housing solutions. We expect them fast. We expect them to be big. Like we don't want to nibble around the edges. We want to solve these problems. And I think we can advocate for that. So I think there's that side that folks can get involved in. If they're not able in a position to say, hey, we want to, you know, donate time, money, stuff to Habitat, making sure that, you know, they're talking about this stuff with people, that, you know, helping others to understand. As you understand more about the realities and the complexity of housing, helping everybody else to understand. Because I think that groundswell of community support is the type of stuff that helps us to make change happen.
Well, I shall definitely talk about it more now I know more about it. Thank you for your time. I've had a really lovely time listening to you, and I hope we meet again.
Oh, it was fantastic. Thank you so much for having me, Linda. I really appreciate it.